Welcome to As for Football's Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their seasons as the Black Knights seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophies. As for Football can be found on Patreon, Instagram, Twitter, and all other social media platforms at As for Football. Sign up for our mailing list at asforfootball.com/subscribe. Thanks for the continued support of As for Football and West Point Athletics.
Well, Dan, you know, it's the preseason.
Yeah, it certainly is.
This is our first podcast in 6 months ish, give or take. So
yeah, as a formal like in season thing for sure.
Exactly.
And Rob's not here, and Rob is in charge of all this technical stuff and is good at it. Whereas I set this up at the last second, and I don't know if it's working. So I guess we'll see.
So this is going to be a little, you know, folks, just we're working through it mechanically. So this is, you know, this is our version of kind of summer training. So
yeah,
give us some grace. But it's great to be back with everybody. Dan, I believe you're still in coastal Connecticut. I am actually coming to you from Madison, Alabama, suburb of Huntsville, the bustling
goodness
metropolis of 200,000 people.
Hard pass. That's a very hard pass.
Quality of life is a lot
better. Facebook user says Rob is a buddy. He certainly is. I don't think we're going to do video for this show, so we got to read the comments from the peanut gallery.
Okay. All right. Appreciate the grace from Facebook user.
Yeah, so says we don't know who Facebook user is today for whatever reason, but he says all good, fellas, which is good because we're going to need your grace today.
Yeah. Hey, it's okay though, Dan. How has your off season been? You know, following you on social media, I think you've had some life events.
Yeah, my kids are both going to school. Maybe I don't know. My daughter's been going back and forth about whether she's going or not, and my other daughter's going to school. So we're either going to be empty nesters or we're going to have one in the house. Who knows? Did the swim across the Sound? That was really good. Nice. So we got Ray Kimball and Greg. I'm not even sure I know how to say that. Iannucci. It's Greg. Greg's in the house with us too. So Jesus Christ, we're really, this is the bottom of the barrel right now. We are
right
in
here.
The preseason.
And all we can go, it's just
up from here. Yeah. New scheme, and we have not mastered it yet. How do you like that?
We're getting there.
All right.
Well, for Dan, that's good. Obviously, I don't have two children who are getting ready to go to college, so I can't say completely relate with you, but
we got to get you an initial child.
Oh, Lord. Children are expensive. Have you seen the cost of raising a child?
Oh, my God. Do you know how much it is to send two kids to school?
I don't even want to know.
Who has a quarter mil just laying around? That's what I want to know. A quarter mil? That's a lot of money. Just in cash? Just here. Let me give you this. That's a lot.
Well, and like, even if you did have a quarter mil laying around, there's probably other things that you would want to do with that than send your kid off to do whatever the hell they're going to do.
It's frustratingly expensive and has caused some angst in the Cabeza household.
Yeah, I bet. Well, but you know, Dan, if you were really trying to get a quarter million, you're trying to get it fast, you might want to try doing it with Buyer Barn. Buyer Barn is one of our sponsors. And it's co-founded by a class of 97 graduate Dan Robinson.
And he's so not Rob's brother, but he could be.
He could be, but he's not. It's a traditional co-op. Well, it used to be a traditional co-op farm. And now it's, I don't even know what I'm talking about, Dan. I got this one.
So Dan ran a traditional co-op animal auction for years and realized that it was not a modern operation. So he and his founder, Dinu, took their IT development experience and they built an online animal auction called buyerbarn.com with a Y. You just go to asforfootball.com. You can find it. So why do you sell animals online instead of in person? Because it reduces the health issues and stress on the animals. Believe it or not, animals don't really like to get on trucks. It also reduces animal fraud. Dan said that the first time he went to go buy a goat, he had like $600 in cash plus, you know, a 45, as you would if you're carrying around enough money to, you know, do a cocaine deal. Fully integrated online auction platform and secure payments so that you don't have to, you know, bring that AR with you. And convenience, you buy and sell on your own time. Finally, you get a better market price because instead of selling to whoever happens to show up for that animal auction, you can just sell to whoever can find you online. Again, you know, what we try to do here at As for Football is help our sponsors and our partners out, get the word out that they exist. One of the issues Buyer Barn has had is because they are an animal auction, a lot of websites don't necessarily want to talk about like where your groceries come from. Friends, they come from animals. And so, you know, if you own a farm and you would like to sell some animals for the purpose of making groceries, buyerbarn.com, they're going to help you with that. They sell everything except horses.
Yeah, so not knowing much about their business model, it is kind of fascinating because traditionally, if I wanted to go buy a goat,
yes,
you know, I might live in Alabama, but I'm not going to go buy a goat. I don't even know where you go to buy a goat. And, you know, it's okay. I got to go get a trailer that I put on the back of my truck and then drive somewhere to give some guy cash, like you said, to buy a goat.
Right.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
Versus now. Goat? Yeah, well, exactly. It's like now anybody, anywhere can buy a goat and invest in a goat. So it's interesting how they're kind of, you know, democratizing this aspect of our economy, which is often overlooked, tear down a lot of barriers to entry. So it's kind of fascinating. So, you know, check it out, go support some West Point grads and, you know, diversify your portfolio. You know, they say you're supposed to have gold real estate. Hey, you can get some animals too. Why not?
Yeah. Get a milk cow for when things drop in the pot.
Yeah. So, all right, now let's talk about stuff we actually know. Army football open camp Wednesday, August 2nd. It looks like the new cadets were there from day one, which is definitely a change from 5 years ago. Might be a change from your years previously. You know, I graduated 5 years ago, and I'm not 100% sure. I know that they were short, you know, letting the new cadets leave Beast early to go to camp, but I don't know at what point they were getting released, if it was on day one or, you know, day five or day six. So, Dan, what usually happens? We know what happens. The defense looks a hell of a lot better than the offense. Is that's normal?
Right.
This year is a little different because we have a totally, totally new offense, new offensive coordinator. But does that concern you at all that the defense is doing better than the offense, or is that just kind of the way it works?
I mean, you would expect that at this time of the year, because for one thing, the defense is running the scheme that they've run. And, sure, you know, I hesitate to say that it's less complicated, but it's, you know, there's not blocking schemes. They're not typically blocking at full, you know, full contact. So that's going to give the defense a chance to do some things. Although, you know, they did have that one highlight reel catch from Isaiah Alston. So, you know, it seems like the offense is slowly catching up. I'm sure, though, you know, this is the first year that this team has actually run actual 7-on-7 drills with quarterbacks and wide receivers throwing the ball like a lot to each other in practice. Shocking news. Those guys enjoy throwing and catching the football. But, you know, it looks good. You've certainly seen some highlight reel films. Would like to see those quarterbacks maybe drop it in the bucket every once in a while. But those just aren't the ones that we're getting shown on the old Twitter machine.
No, and it's going to take time. I think we need to be patient.
Sure.
So we'll see how the season goes. I'm very optimistic. We're going to talk about the offense in a minute, but I'm very optimistic. But kind of just more administratively, we have four captains for 2023. Connor Finucane, 6'4", 315 offensive lineman. When was the last time we had a 300-pound offensive lineman, Dave?
I got every offensive lineman that you're going to see on the field this year is 300 plus. That's amazing. First year we've seen that. I put these heights and weights on there because the team is physically bigger than they have been in a long time.
That's crazy. So I remember in 2014 watching the 2013 Army Navy game, and like Navy looked a lot bigger than Army. I was looking up weights, you know, high school senior wanted to play at Army, looking at weights. Not a guy was over 300 pounds. Like the heaviest dude was like 285, 290 on the offensive line. So now we have 315-pound guy. That's awesome.
That's wild. It's good.
Yeah, it is great. And, you know, Leo Lowen, 6 foot, 225. He's a monster at linebacker. Defensive end, Austin Hill, 6'1", 255. I imagine he has quite that. You know, we have a lot of lanky guys, especially at D end. And then we have offensive, outside linebacker, Jimmy Chiarlo.
Charlo,
6'1", 225. So a lot of meat on the bones. This is, you know, kind of different from you know, the traditionally undersized service academies of over 40 pounds under, you know, under, so we're going to cut block you. It's, I think we're moving past those days.
They're going to be undersized compared to LSU, and they'll probably be a little undersized compared to Syracuse, but I don't know if they're going to be undersized compared to, say, ULM or maybe even Troy.
It'll be interesting. And we're going to go to a quick little diversion. I feel like Troy is like wants to be the West Point of Army. I see their stuff on social media, or West Point of Alabama, excuse me. I see their stuff on social media all the time, like trying to take the last of the hard, like they're trying to pirate everything that we're doing. Yeah. And, oh, we have a Corps of Cadets. We're just like West Point. Like,
they have a Corps of Cadets at Troy?
They do.
Oh, interesting.
They do. Okay. Yeah. So I think one of their defensive analysts actually followed James from Oklahoma. So.
Yeah, that happened. He was like, what should I do about this? And I was like, well, don't block him, man. I mean, you know, a fan is a fan, even if he's a defensive analyst for the other team.
Yeah.
So I mean, let's be honest. When you're listening to the old fan podcast to get tips on what the offense is going to look like, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel pretty bad.
Or you're just very innovative. It's all about how you look at things.
You're not going to learn anything here. Sorry, guys.
Yes. At least not on this show. Maybe next week.
Some 22-year-old defensive analyst is like, I can't believe I have to listen to these assholes.
Yeah, I know. Sorry about
that. We're laughing at you too, buddy.
Yeah. So in addition to being bigger, we're also getting a lot of preseason press. Defensive end Austin Hill added to the Werfel Trophy watch list, and Connor Finucane added to the Atland Trophy watch list. Finucane played 8 games at right guard last year, 4 at right tackle. Dan, you say in here you think they have him as a guard, but kind of TBD.
That's just what it stuck in my head. He played guard at 8 games. So if you'd said, hey, what position does Connor Finucane play? I would have said guard, but apparently he played 4 or right tackle last season. So
yeah.
Be interested to know which 4, because the tackles improved over the course of the season.
They did. And it's also, you know, going to be interesting to see what the offensive line looks like from that perspective this year, because with the option, now we also had a lot of injuries in previous years. With the option, sure, guys got moved around all the time, and you're starting this game at guard, you're starting this game at center, then you're at tackle. I don't think that's going to happen as much. So it'll be interesting to see if we see guys kind of get more specialized as kind of the season goes on. They're actually taking 12 games worth of snaps at tackle as opposed to being center and then being guard and then being tight end or whatever else.
For sure. It's interesting. I'm excited about this offensive line. You know, they're doing some different things. There might be some growing pains, but I am glad that they are opening at ULM and not at, let's say, Troy or Coastal Carolina. Not that I think ULM is a bad team. I think they're definitely well coached, but, and we'll talk about this next week some, but you know, that's a tough spot to be in. You know, you're like the number 3 football school in the state of Louisiana. And
yeah,
everybody's sitting there like, yo, can we get that defensive tackle off their team through the portal?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the same. Look at UCF. It's like, absolutely, yeah, they're a good football team. But okay, you got University of Florida, you got Florida State, you got University of Miami. Like, that's tough. So yeah, you have talent in the state of Florida. Like, why are you going to pick UCF over going to Florida State? So, but that's separate conversation. Also, some position changes. Former slot back, Ajon Marshall, is now listed as a wide receiver. I think we expected some of these changes just because of the change in offense. Slotback's probably not going to be as utilized. Ton of new cadet quarterbacks listed on the roster. Not going to stay at quarterback. But, you know, they're going to get moved to who the hell knows. You know, tight end. I think we didn't we had a quarterback a couple of years ago. Came in as a quarterback and switched to play linebacker. So
of course he did.
Yeah, it's going to happen. It's just part of
sure.
it.
Sure. I would bet most of those guys wind up at either slot back or wide receiver, but we'll see.
Yeah, if they have the speed, you know, for quarterbacks sure. tend to be a little more talented, you know, with their hand-eye coordination. So wouldn't surprise me to see them at wide receiver or tight end. Dan, I'm just going to be honest. I moved. I'm busy with work. I'm billing 60 hours a week. If you told me, hey, these are the guys that you need to watch this year, who would they be? What would your kind of list be of, you know, these are the players to watch out for?
Well, it's a shame. I really wanted to get James' input on this. And of course, he's doing flying things, flying, you know, wherever he is. So I've got three, and you can just tell me what you think of this. My first one is defensive end Austin Hill, 41 tackles in just five starts last year, plus two forced fumbles. Now he's a team captain. I don't think it's fair to say he's going to come out of nowhere, because obviously if he's a team captain, the team knew where he was, and he played a decent amount, you know, last year. But in terms of big time players that no one in the national media is really following, Hill is my guy to like rush the passer and be disruptive. And, you know, for Ross Tucker to be like, holy crap, where did Austin Hill come from? Not that Ross doesn't do his homework. We know that he does. I'm just saying, like, this is my guy.
Does he?
You know, he takes things personally, man. He'll get
upset. I shouldn't have said that. Yeah, and I hope he doesn't say that. I hope the first 15 minutes of this, you know, he turned.
He's going to be like, I can't believe I'm listening to this crap.
Yeah.
Cal left tackle Jordan Booby Law for reasons we'll talk about in a minute.
I thought he graduated last year.
No. He's been playing a long time. He's one of the best linemen they've had in a while. He started as a plebe.
Oh, my gosh. He's like that guy at Clemson, that wide receiver who was there, like, just like, how did you not graduate? I thought Booby Law graduated. But
yeah, well, the reason you thought that is because he was one of the best players on the team last year, because that's kept saying, hey, these tackles are really, really good. And again, we'll talk about this in a minute, why that is. You can make an argument that when he went out during the Army-Navy game in 2021, that actually cost Army the game. You look at where they were running per play before and after he left the game. Like, it's a sharp drop off. You know, now we're in this offense where tackle's going to be more important than ever. Like, this is a dude to watch. And I know we talked about Connor Finucane, and we don't know if he's going to play guard or tackle, but that's these tackles, those guys are going to be interesting to watch. And Law is a really good tackle. So he's one of my guys to watch on the offensive line. Finally, tight end Josh Lingenfelter. And we had Coach Drinkall tell us what a talented guy he was. And then, you know, now here he is, unquestionably the starter, not behind anybody. He's not fast. You know, he's definitely not a burner, but he's a big guy with good hands. Be interesting to see how they use him, like in the possession passing game. And oh, by the way, the guy is a mauler as a blocker.
Oh, so, yeah. Oh, he is. And like, we saw him a lot matched up again. He's a big guy. He's a
big dude. Yeah, for sure.
Big dude. You know, getting matched up against like 5'11" cornerback, and you know, cornerback, Josh, yeah, just trucking him. So it's going to be interesting to see where they use him and how we use tight ends in this new offense, because that matchup was very favorable, because he would, you know, he has the height, he would get the ball and he would knock somebody over, yeah, maybe another 10 yards.
So I don't think he's going to outrun you necessarily, but
he'll run you over
the chains. So
that'll be good to see. Sounds like we got a lot of talent, Dan. Really kind of what matters and what people are on the show for is the new offense. So can you kind of take us through, like, what is it? Why are we doing it? Because people were ready to freaking burn their jerseys that we were moving away from the triple option and communism has taken over football at West Point. Like, what's going on?
50-year-old men, like, Army's moving away from the triple option. Oh, God.
Deep breaths,
people. So Sports Illustrated had a really great article about the change. Sports Illustrated staff came down and spent about a week with Army's coaching staff. They put together something like 3,000 words on the Black Knights culture and the basic decision-making process besides switching. That article is well worth your time. And then James had a much shorter piece that we put up on our website last week that gets very detailed into the specifics of what the NC2A outlawed in terms of blocking and why it matters. But bottom line, you can no longer cut block outside of the tackle blocks. You can't cut block past the initial push off the line of scrimmage. All cut blocks have to come from the front of the defender. And all of this basically made the flex bone completely untenable. So it seems a little intuitive, because when I first read, oh, these cut blocks are going to be outlawed, what I thought was, we're never going to be able to run outside. But actually what happened was all of these changes really affected the fullback dive the most, for two reasons that are kind of obvious. First, without fear of cut blocks, every defense that we saw all season long just stacked the box like crazy. It was just a complete bunch right in the center of the field to keep Army from running the dive. And then they would count on their linebackers and safeties being able to pursue out to the outside against the option and misdirection concepts. And, you know, Army did okay, honestly, with a lot of those outside runs, especially when they ran enough misdirection to sort of keep these teams honest. But there was nothing that they could do about that logjam in the middle of the field. You know, you stack nine dudes right there, and and there's just not a lot you can do. And what makes it worse is the lineman coming off the line, like, okay, good, I can cut block within the first couple of yards, but then I have to actually get up and block above the waist as we're sort of progressing through the block. And that's, I'm not sure that that's even physically possible, right? So I'm going to sit there and block down and then somehow get up and continue to block. Like, this is not a thing that was occurring. And what's worse is as guys tripped and fell because they're cut blocking, their dudes are tripping over them, generating all kinds of crazy costly penalties and short yardage situations. And the result was Army just could not sustain offense with the fullback dive. Like, as good as the fullback dive has been for the Black Knights over the years, It just wasn't a good play at all last year because of these changes, like because the box is stacked, because these guys are not, you know, getting up, they've drawn penalties. We even saw Jacoby Buchanan lose yardage at times last season for the first time his entire career. He didn't suddenly forget how to play football. So, you know, Army dealt with this, like we said, by running to the outside more. They used a decent amount of misdirection on offense, counters, and that sort of thing. And then finally, I thought this was really interesting. They came up with this power run off tackle where they basically line up unbalanced with the tight end, like we were just talking about with that tackle with Booby Law and Josh Ligonfelter. And they would just wall off the entire defense that's in the box and then either run through the C gap or just outside. And that worked pretty well. We saw them make that work against Troy. We saw them make that work against UConn. It worked really, really well against UMass. But it took them about half the season to fully embrace that concept. And it did not work at all, not even a little, in the Service Academy games. And mostly, more to the point, Coach Monken does not seem to have believed that this was going to be a consistent, reliable substitute over time for the fullback dive. So, you know, if you have to make a change, then you have to make a change. And, of course, we also saw Army throw a little bit more out of necessity last year. I think it's telling that the passing game looked better early in the season than late in the season because, you know, you're going to be good at what you practice. So, yeah, they're calling the new offense modern warfare. And as I said, it's kind of an acknowledgement of an adaptation to the reality of college football in 2023. Coach Drinkall was on a podcast recently and said, you know, you either adapt or die, which is true. And, you know, as I said in the article, you play the game that you're in with the rules that you have, not the game that you want with the rules that you wish you had. If they tried to stay with the flex bone, they're going to be playing the game that they wanted with the rules that they wish that they had. So that's kind of where we are.
Yeah, So as we're kind of going through this, it kind of reminded me of Swiss watchmaking in the 80s and the 90s. And for years, Swiss watchmaking was this, you know, renowned practice of, you know, some dude in the mountains of Switzerland is sitting there, you know, building this watch piece by piece. And it's intricate and it's this time-honored tradition. And then all of a sudden the Japanese come out with Casio, you know, in Seiko quartz watches. And all of a sudden, you know, instead of spending, you know, years building a watch, you know, they can pop them off the assembly line every 5 minutes. And the Swiss were kind of in this position of like, well, what do we do? Like, do we give up the tradition of watchmaking to try to compete, or do we kind of find a happy medium? And that's what they did. And you saw, you know, brands like Swatch and stuff like that, where we're going to take the craftsmanship and kind of, you know, find ways to democratize it and be more competitive. And that's how Swiss watchmaking, which is now thriving again, kind of stayed alive. And that's what I think Army's trying to do. I don't think Coach Monken woke up one day after teaching and coaching the option for 30 years and said, yeah, I'm over. Let's do something different. He's in his 50s. Like, he doesn't want to have to relearn how to do something he's been doing for 30 years. Like, Dan, you're not going to go out tomorrow and decide that, you know, you're going to be a chemical engineer. You're an electrical engineer.
Yes, I am.
You just do it for fun. But if that was the necessity, you would figure it out. I think that's where Army's at. And it's weird. It's uncomfortable. And this first season might be interesting, but that's okay. And that's the reality of college football. And, you know, frankly, I would rather have a coach and have a program that's the first mover on this compared to Navy and Air Force, who are still trying to figure out a way to make it work. Because the reality is we've seen the writing on the wall for years. And as the NC2A gets more restrictive on blocking and stuff like that, it's going to become more and more difficult to run the flex bone. And you're going to have to get more and more creative and more innovative. And, you know, really everything's going to hinge on, oh, I hope we don't get a penalty. Oh, we need everything to work right for us to get positive yardage. And that's not sustainable in the long term. And so I think this is going to give us a more sustainable offense. There are going to be some bumps in the road. It's going to be weird. You know, Dan and I have to learn how to analyze a different type of offense. But I think long-term, this is going to be healthier for the program than us saying, oh no, tradition. Let's just keep running the fullback dive for 2 yards and hope we can convert and hope, you know, something happens.
What's frustrating about it is Army had such explosiveness last year that if you just sort of looked on a rushing yards per game basis, it looked like everything was okay. But their success has always been based on consistency, like, you know, churning those long churning drives, and they weren't necessarily getting those. They certainly weren't necessarily converting those third and shorts and fourth and shorts that used to be, you know, those were just gimmies. And so they, you know, they could break off long runs. Like, they had talented kids out there playing. When they got space, they could make something happen, but it just wasn't consistent enough. And that exposed the whole game plan. It exposed the defense more, put them on the field more, and, you know, it made it harder for Army to do, you know, Army things like score in fourth and short from the goal line. So yeah that's bad.
Someone just said in the chat, I don't know if it was Greg or Ray, but if anyone can, it's Munkin. And
that's true.
One, I agree with that because Munkin's a badass. Two, Munkin has been at Army since what, early 2014, late 2013? What, yeah. Eight, 10 years? It's not like we fired our coach because we weren't winning. We're going to hire some new guy. Like, Munkin knows the culture. He understands what it takes to win at Army. So this is not someone who we're just bringing in to change things up, like maybe. But, you know, this is, you know, someone who's been institutionalized at West Point for 10 years and like, hey, here's the situation. I know West Point. I also know college football. Here's what we need to do. So I love that comment because this is a very educated decision. This is not a snap. Athletic director doesn't like the coach anymore. You know, whatever it is, like, this is a very deliberate, calculated move. And that's why he made the staff adjustments that he did. And fired his best friend of 20 years because he knew what it's going to take to win. And we need to bring in the right type of people to do that.
The fan base should be really concerned. And this is trolling a little bit, but it is true. I'd be concerned if I was a Navy fan because they're still trying to like halfway do the flex bone. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you like, I know that Coach Munkin would have liked to have stuck with what was working and had worked and had seen him put teams in the top 25 in the nation and win 10 and 11 games. I'm sure that he would have loved to have done that, especially with this crew, which he's got, you know, such an experienced team this season. But, you know, when he decided to make a change, he went all in and made the change, which is the only way to make change happen. You know, the boat school, they're trying to like dip their toe in the waters of change. And I'd be concerned about that.
Yeah. I agree. And any other thoughts on this offensive change?
No, I think we've beat this one to death.
Okay. If you have thoughts, let us know. We're interested to hear what other people are saying. Obviously, like Dan said, we've seen the 50-year-olds having their meltdowns and stop giving money to AOG. Like, all right, dude, they didn't want your $19.80 a month. Like, great.
The guys who sell triple option packages to high school coaches are the ones who melted down the worst.
Oh my gosh.
Like, oh man.
Yeah.
The football influencer community, the triple option influencer community. Oh God.
Yeah. From the middle of nowhere, Ohio. So when Navy had Perry, they had the athlete to make happen. Yeah, Perry was a once in a generation athlete in a lot of respects.
If Malcolm Perry was still on the team, Navy would have the athletes to make this work. I 100% agree with that. You get a guy who, you know, was a productive NFL wide receiver and stick him at quarterback and let him run around. Oh God. Ray Kimball says, oh God, football influencers are a thing. Yes, they are, Ray. Yes, they are.
They are. Start looking at our mentions on X or Twitter or whatever we call it.
Oh no, it'll all be the bird. Always going to be the bird app for me. I don't care.
It's interesting. So, moving on a little bit, let's talk about another sponsor, Craig Oxane, VP of Residential Lending at Draper & Kramer in Chicago, class of 94, lending in all 50 states. Oh, my gosh. He is one of the biggest VA lenders in the country. He also has mastered social media. Dan, I think we need to, like, outsource our social media game to Craig.
Oh, my God, for sure.
The action Oxane, like, his little shorts and reels, like, I love it. It's great. But the bottom line is Craig has super competitive rates. He's going to give you the best deal he possibly can. mortgage process is very confusing. If you're trying to go with a big bank, rocketmortgage.com, whatever it is, they don't care about you.
Yeah.
And that's just the bottom line. Versus, you know, Craig is going to take the time to get on the phone with you and have a conversation with you and understand where you're at, what your needs are, what you're trying to do, what you're trying to, like, he's going to actually build, it's going to be a relationship. Like, it's an old school way of doing business, which is what you want and what you need when you're buying a home. Same way, you know, you're not going to go on to Zillow and, you know, buy a house sight unseen on Zillow and, like, you know, messing, like, you're going to walk through it first. You're going to have a realtor that you trust. You know, get a mortgage broker that you trust. It expedites the closing process. It makes things easier having someone in your corner like that. Also, he doesn't charge lender's fees for veterans. So that saves you like $1,300. So if you're like Dan and you're trying to find $250,000 to send your kids to college, $1,300 goes a long way. Just saying.
So Ray says 1 year on from getting my loan with Craig, I'm still getting analytical stuff from him about how my house is performing. That's great stuff. Yeah. I got a note from another guy who's not a grad, but is an Army veteran who bought a house through Craig. And he wrote me like 2 pages of how wonderful Craig is. And I now feel guilty for not reading that thing. So remind me to put that on next week's show.
All right, Dan. But Ray, that's also like, you know, I go on Zillow or Redfin or whatever, and it's like, oh, your house lost 10 grand in the last 4 days. Like, there's no reason why. It's just like the algorithm or whatever. So the fact that you have someone who's actually like running legitimate numbers, that's nice. That's nice. Dan, move it.
Hey, you want me to take this next piece?
Well, the next piece of this is kind of Dan's like monologue. So I'm going to get up and get a glass of water. Dan's going to take us through his journey. If you know Dan, you know that he likes to express himself a lot of different ways. So we'll see his writing, and now we're going to listen to him tell the story.
Unfortunately, this is like a wall of text, and there's no way around it. But I wanted to take a few minutes while we are in our – this is officially the first of our weekly shows for the season. But I wanted to talk about like why on God's earth anybody would choose West Point, aside from the fact that their parents don't have $250,000 to put them through college. but with apologies to a certain percentage of our audience, as I know, like if you're Ray Kimble, Ray obviously knows why a guy would go to West Point. So does Greg. But, you know, we're really sort of focused on current recruits and parents, as well as like ESPN analysts who don't know why anybody would go to Army and think it's a stupid idea. So, you know, on his recent podcast appearance, and I apologize for, it was the Coach Steve show, I think, Coach Drinkall said that a lot of recruits have this image of West Point as being something like 4 years of Full Metal Jacket, living in giant World War II style bays or whatever, you know, marching everywhere, full Army cliche if you've never seen the Army, right? And on the other side of that, you know, you're listening to people who actually have no idea what being in the Army is like. And here I'm specifically talking about some of the networks that cover Army besides CBS Sports. And they make it sound like only the most self-righteous, stuck-up, patriotic supermen would possibly choose West Point. And like, I honestly think that that's a little bit more unnerving than the World War II style barrack Full Metal Jacket thing. I just like, that's even weirder to me that you have to be some kind of super patriot to choose to, you know, join the Army and get a great education. So like I said, I wanted to talk about like why somebody would go to West Point, understanding that if you're an old grad, you're probably groaning at this right now, you know, okay. But you know, I've been through this recruiting process. My friend's son just went through this process. So I figured maybe we would start by talking about choices. So your average athletic recruit is probably also being recruited by the Ivy and Patriot League schools and or HBCUs, plus maybe directional state university. Maybe they've got a Power Five offer or more likely a preferred walk-on, which the preferred walk-on has got to be the worst deal in college football. That's like, we'd love for you to come be a camp body for us at the University of Alabama, understanding that we're never going to invest any real money in your future. Like you're volunteering to help millionaires who get paid to coach a kid's game at State U with nothing on the back end. Like that's an insane thing to do. Don't do that. You know, and so if you're looking at Ivy League schools or Patriot League schools, like Ivy League schools are great, right? If you get an offer from Harvard or Princeton, you're insane not to at least carefully consider that, right? But they're also expensive. They don't offer athletic scholarships. And even though some of these places are now using NIL or summer internships to help these guys defer their costs, like I have no issue with that. But it isn't the same as getting a straight up scholarship, right? And there's also, and this is something my buddy's son pointed out, they're limited on competition. Like football games at Harvard are not super important cultural events. You know, Harvard Yale is fine for grads, but I don't know if the kids care. And they, you know, those Ivy League schools don't even play for the FCS championship. So if you're, you know, playing at a big football school anywhere in Texas, or, you know, like my buddy's son plays for a regionally important school on the East Coast, like he'd like to play at least that same level in college, which I'm not sure that Ivy League is going to offer. The Patriot League does at least offer scholarships. So schools like Holy Cross and Fordham that are very well respected, that also have historically good football teams, can seem like a good idea. And maybe they are. I'm not saying that they aren't. But, you know, again, that's kind of another option. Then you've got like directional State U, you know, West Carolina University, or maybe a Power Five offer. And like we were talking about with ULM, you know, it's great, but a lot of these schools limit what their players can major in, which for my buddy's son was a big problem because he kind of wants to be a doctor. And West Point and Annapolis, for that matter, are going to let you major in whatever you want to. Plus, if you get that scholarship from the SEC or the Big Ten, and plus they're giving you NIL money, like they really don't want to hear that you've got engineering homework. That's not on the docket. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
football.
Priorities for that.
Yeah, you are a professional football player at that point. So, you know, this kind of leaves you to where can you get an Ivy League education and play in, you know, one of the biggest college football games of the year in the Army-Navy game, plus a Power Five game, and plus Army and Navy are both literal Patriot League members that won't restrict your major. And that is why kids are choosing the academies, because they can play big time college football, because they can major in anything that they want to, and because they've got that, you know, it's not a preferred walk-on. That's an actual scholarship with a little money in your pocket because you're in the Army. And that's like, patriotism is great, but I'm just telling you on pure football terms, it's this is why kids are going there. So, yeah, and so, I also think it's, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead, Jordan.
No, I was going to agree with you, Dan, but also kind of caveat a little bit, because if let's take Ivy Leagues off the table, and let's just say you have an offer from, you know, Alabama directional State U, and then Mississippi directional State U, and then West Point, like,
sure.
Who's not going to go to West Point in that situation? Like, what's the difference between any of these kind of quote unquote mid-tier universities in West? Like, they're all roughly the same in terms of the value proposition they offer. So that's one. Two, there are people out there who are patriotic and want to play college football and want to go in the Army.
Sure.
Bryson Daly.
I mean, I've been boohooing the whole patriotism thing, you know, for 10 minutes, but it is true.
But like,
it's out there who believe.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, at the end of the day, you know, you're exactly right. You look at these kids and it's like, okay, you're going to major in basket weaving, and you're going to go play football for 80 hours a week. And then you're going to graduate and you have no marketable skills, and you're going to end up, you know, I live in Alabama. And like, I can't tell you how many restaurants I go in and there's like a picture of the manager in his Alabama jersey with Nick Saban from 10 years ago. Cause like, and I'm not knocking that, but like, you know, I see all the time, like, you know, selling insurance or real estate, like, oh, I played with this coach at Auburn, or, oh, I'd like that. That's the value proposition that a lot of these schools offer, because you graduate and it's like, okay, well, you know, you were something as a football player. Now you're not, versus, you know, you graduate West Point and, hey, you have a career set up in the Army. You're going to learn marketable, valuable skills. And for me, when I was looking at, you know, West Point versus, you know, I had full rides to other schools, part of it was a business decision. And I was like, you know what, like, you know, short-term and long-term, West Point makes more financial sense. And the other point was, freaking West Point. Like, there's like that intrinsic kind of value that's associated with it, and that name value, like, and I see it today in my career. Like, you know, people are going out of the room, introducing yourself to clients, and it's like, oh, I went to Ohio State. Oh, I went to Michigan. Oh, I went to wherever. Like, yeah. Oh, I went to West Point. Oh, really? Like, everyone kind of perks up. It's just, it's different. So I know it's a little bit of a different take than what you were trying to.
For better or worse, it can be kind of a conversation stopper. It's
or
like,
starter. It depends.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess. Yeah, it definitely can be. Anyway, I'm going to assume this is Greg says, everyone graduates West Point as a professional, hands down leadership. You have more than a degree with instant credibility.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true. So, and I also think it's worth noting that the average football player is probably going to enjoy the military because it's an inherently physical job that involves a lot of teamwork as just as the baseline. You know, you're mostly not sitting there at that desk, and certainly not in your first 5 years or so. And I, you know, I don't know who needs to hear this, but to say one of my own personal biggest life lessons, real life is a lot more like college sports than it's like college classes. And that's doubly true in the military. You know, I'm going on 20 years as an electrical engineer, and I have never used calculus except one time in an MBA class. We took one derivative since I graduated West Point. And I am an electrical engineer in the most complicated bulk power system in America. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. Whereas the ability to like fight through stuff and not quit, yeah, that comes up every day.
Yeah. But I think bottom line, to kind of summarize this, bottom line is people aren't choosing West Point because, rah, rah, I love America so much, I want to go kill the Taliban. If you want to do that, you're enlisting right out of high school. Like, the decision to go to West Point is a very complicated one. It's not just because I want to take, you know, MS-200 and have Ruff Tucker talk about how cool that is. And I don't, like, you're not doing it because of that. You're not doing it because, you know, rah, rah. Like, yeah, there are kids who do that. Like, I had a couple in my class, Dan. I'm sure you had some in your class. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, but the vast majority of people, it's a business decision. And it's, you know, part of it is the culture. Part of it is the experience. Part of it's the brand. There's a lot that goes into it. And it's not as simple as, you know, here's my American flag and my Make America Great Again sticker, and that's why I'm going to West Point. That's not the case.
Anyway, it's interesting because Coach Drinkall said that they're doing really well with recruiting this year between the new offense offering more pro style skills, you know, pass blocking, passing, etc., and even, you know, zone running, cut block or zone running schemes. That they're doing well there, but they're also doing well because a lot of the schools have an emphasis on the transfer portal. So a lot of talented younger kids are sort of getting passed over for that scholarship. And, you know, the bigger teams are trying to poach, they're just straight up trying to poach kids off other teams' rosters. So, you know, a lot of these would be one-time full rides are now sort of like, come up here and give it a shot. And that makes the proposition of having an actual, you know, an actual deal at West Point, actually paid for your tuition up front, like that's a lot better looking, in my personal opinion. And, you know, especially if you're getting recruited for something that's not football or basketball, it's like way harder to get that actual full ride scholarship in a non-revenue sport. Yeah. Army this year in swimming pulled down a top 15 national recruit. And granted, there's, you know, new coach, he's turned the program around. There's a lot going on that's besides just it being Army, but that full ride swimming scholarship is really, really hard to come by in the 21st century. So believe it or not, there's a lot of kids out there paying for the opportunity to compete at the D1 level outside of these revenue sports. So,
And depending on your budget, they might only have one or two scholarships a year.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, hey, I'm number three at, you know, I don't even know what a good swimming school is, but like, you're pretty damn good, but you're not good enough to get a scholarship potentially. Yep. Versus, hey, I could go to West Point and I could be the best kid on the team and I could get, you know, my education paid for and then have a job when I graduate. That's not a bad deal. So
being the best kid on the team today at West Point requires a pretty good damn kid. They're putting kids in, you know, in Olympic trials pretty regularly at this point. So,
well, I'm not knocking the swimming team or the swimming program. Sure. But
even wrestling, top 25 year in, year out.
Exactly. But like, you know, my point being, especially in football, the people who are going transfer portal, those are 1 in 100 kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
And everybody thinks they're 1 in 100, but you're not. And so I think it's going to be interesting in the next few years as the transfer portal kind of continues to develop. If we're going to see more kids who are in that like 20 to 50 range, kind of upper mid, who know that they can be competitive, know that they can do well, but also know that, hey, I'm not going to beat out the number one kid who might transfer in and take my spot senior year because he wants to get a better NIL deal. And, you know, for a lot of kids, I think the prospect of West Point is going to be more attractive potentially. Also, the fact that we're not at war and we're not, you know, shipping people off to Iraq every year, that's going to be appealing.
That doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Anyway, before we go on, anybody from the Peanut Gallery got anything else on this topic? I, uh, I thought it was worth talking about. You know, like I said, my buddy's son just went through this process, and it took him a long time, I think, to wrap his mind around the idea of going to Beast Barracks instead of going to Directional State University where he could, you know, party it up. But at the end of the day, you know, he wanted to play big time college football. He wanted to be a pre-med major, and there was really not that many places where he could do all that stuff. So
I think you can count it on one hand. So
yeah. So yeah, it's tough. Ray says this is good. We have to constantly talk to new generations. Yeah, it's true. So,
I saw something on TikTok or Instagram or whatever, and it was like, you know, what would you, if you were given the choice between 850 credit score, four grand a week, and $2 million right now, which would you pick? And then it like kind of cut to somebody, and they're like, well, you know, it actually shows you a lot about your generation, because if you're a boomer, you want the credit score, because that's what you were taught to really value.
Nobody wants a credit score.
I understand. Versus, you know, if you're a millennial, you want the $4,000 a week because you want the stability, versus if you're Gen Z, you want the $2 million right now because, you know.
Okay, there's actually a correct answer to that question.
My point in that is not to analyze it, but just to say that, you know, point.
Okay.
Their reasons are not our reasons. You're exactly right, Ray. And the reason that, Dan, you went to West Point in the 90s is very different than the reason I went in the 2000s. And, you know, the kid who's graduating in a year, they're going to pick West Point. It's different. And so I think that the Army as a whole needs to kind of be aware of that. And I think I know the Academy is aware of it, but I think that we just need to continue to look at, you know, what do people value in society and culture? Because, you know, people who joined because their parents fought in World War II, that's a very different conversation than the people who, hey, I'm a first generation immigrant or second generation, and I, you know, no, I don't have that patriotism that someone 70 years ago did.
So. All right.
Well, do you like Army football but hate social media? Who doesn't? Social media is terrible. Stay away from all the drama on, you know, X versus Threads versus whatever. Go to askforfootball.com/subscribe. Get our mailing list. We send out one email per week during the season. That's it. If you want to be in touch, you understand what's going on with Army football, join our mailing list. We're not going to blow you up. We're not going to send you an email every single week. We'll send you one email a week during the season. So you're looking at like 15 emails a year, and, you know, you help you stay in tune with what's going on.
Trying to help. How is our Threads account doing, Jordan?
I think we have one thread. I don't know what it's called. We have one. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough out there. So,
okay. Well, my favorite thing that, this week, as I talked about a little earlier, was that the swim across the Sound happened about 9 days ago, raised something like $6,500. All of us were over 50, and we beat all three teams from the University of Connecticut, which should not happen. That's a thing that should be impossible. I was super pleased with how that worked out. And, you know, now we're less than a month out from the start of college football, and I'm super excited, man. What's going on with you? Awesome. Anything good? We see your new the firsties can see your new office / laundry room.
Yes. Moved from Atlanta to Huntsville, Alabama. So I'm currently in my office / laundry room. You have my fiance's Auburn degree, and then my West Point, and then our washer and dryer, and, you know, vacuum. So very domestic over here. Things are good. Work's been good. I think I took my 76th flight of the year last week.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Another hard pass for me. No, thank you.
Yeah. So it's good. You know, thankful I'm not traveling this week. Rob is currently stuck somewhere. I don't know. Yeah. He was trying to get from Florida to North Carolina, got stuck in Atlanta. They send him back. I don't know, but
he would have been so much better off to just rent a car 2 days ago and drive to his house. Yeah.
I saw they're doing ground stops at all the New York airports, Philly, everyone in DC, Charlotte, and Atlanta. So not a great week to travel. So thankful I am not traveling this week, but I'll be back in LA in a couple weeks. So if you're in LA, man, and you want to grab dinner, I'm usually staying downtown LA. So let me know. Happy to grab a beer and dodge the homeless people in LA. So.
All right, man. I think that's it. Everybody who's on the show with us, thank you very much. And if you're listening to us at home, go Army, beat Navy, beat ULM. Yeah.
Thanks for your patience, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Tune in next week as Ask for Football brings you more Army football analysis. We'd like to thank our sponsor, FireBarn.com. FireBarn is the world's first online platform for auctions and sales of farm animals. FireBarn is dedicated to helping small farmers in America and has extended special discounts to military veterans who want to continue the growth of the small farming industry. Go to firebarn.com/military. That's FireBarn, FireBarn.com to learn more, or to get started, email them at info@firebarn.com. Thanks again for listening to the Army Football Show. And as always, beat Navy.